Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Would you know what to do if your child was choking? What about a child with no pulse, or a child you've pulled out of the water that doesn't have a pulse? Do you know how to do CPR on a child? The times are different now, and it's a little bit different than it used to be. So we are here to give you the basics of procedure and tips on remembering the different counts and how fast and positions and all of these things that get pretty confusing, and you need to know them at a time when it's the most scary and you might be in a panic situation. My guest is Dr. Deborah Mulligan. She's the Chief Medical Officer of MD Live Care. She's also the Director of the Institute for Child Health Policy. Welcome to the show, Dr. Mulligan. So child and infant CPR. Let's start by what is different than the old CPR that we used to remember as it relates to children?
Well, if you don't mind, what I'd like to do is just to remind everyone. So number one, CPR stands for cardiopulmonary resuscitation. And as you suggest, it's a life-saving technique used in many emergencies. And we're entering into the summer period where everyone who takes care of a child, be it a babysitter, a grandparent, a family member, the parents themselves, everyone should have a good feeling of confidence about getting some training and being able to apply CPR if it should be needed. Because at the end of the day, it's far better to do something than to do nothing at all. And, you know, whether you're fearful about your knowledge or your abilities, remember the difference between doing something and nothing at all is someone's life. And as you point out, there's been some changes of late. There are plenty of places where you can get your training from the American Red Cross, the American Heart Association. The American Academy of Pediatrics has some different programs that you can even purchase and review at home. Effectively, when a child, as you point out, is in a drowning situation where their breathing might have been compromised, what you do immediately is remove the child from the water as soon as possible. You'll call 911, and then you're going to begin the chest compressions that would be taught to you if you took any of these courses that we're talking about. First and foremost, remember to call 911 and then start your cycles of chest compressions and breaths on a child.
So you always want to call 911 first, and if you're alone, you call 911 first, and if anyone else is with you, you can get them to call while you're starting your cycle. So are we doing breaths? Is it just compressions? What do we do?
Well, we want to restore circulation, and so the changes would be focusing more on restoration of blood circulation. And when you're talking about CPR on a baby, what you would do is place the baby effectively. And again, we'd rather you took the course, but in essence, you're going to be placing the baby on his or her back on a firm surface such as the floor or a table, and imagine a horizontal line drawn between the baby's nipples. You place two fingers of one hand just below this line in the center of the chest and gently compress the chest about 1.5 inches each time you make that compression. And count aloud as you pump so that you're keeping a rhythm in your own mind. There's a wonderful song out there about the Bee Gees used to have about Save a Life, and a lot of people use that song in their head to keep a rhythm for those 100 compressions a minute.
They use that song, Stayin' Alive. Yes,
exactly.
Dr. Mulligan, they use the song Stayin' Alive and sing that, and that gives them the rhythm for those chest compressions.
Exactly. So really we're looking mostly at circulation in the updated instructions for CPR as opposed to worrying about the breath.
Okay, so we're doing compressions, and you mentioned the word baby. Is it any different if the child is 5, 7, 9, or even a teenager?
Well, the 1 to 8-year-old child is going to be very similar to an adult. The differences are that if you're, as you said a moment ago, if you're alone, you perform the cycles of compressions and breaths on the child. That should take about 2 minutes, and then call 911 or ask someone to call 911 for you. And you use only one hand to perform the chest compressions as opposed to what you would do with an adult, because obviously they're smaller and you don't need that same kind of intensity of strength and pressure. And you would, if you were to breathe, you would breathe more gently. And as we mentioned a moment ago, for adults, the compression rate is 30, whereas with a younger child, it's going to be faster, especially with a baby.
Okay, so we're talking about if there's no pulse, and you're saying to restore circulation, and you want to keep that. That is just so important. How long do you continue to do it? If they start to cough and they sort of come awake, do you then stop and wait for the paramedics to come, or do you just keep going until the paramedics come?
Well, no. If somebody's responding and coughing and their eyes open and they sit up, then you've achieved your goal, and that's a happy moment. You know, sadly, we had an incident recently where the mom just didn't know how to swim, nor did she know CPR. And sadly, had she been able to pull her child out of the pool and begin CPR while 911 was on their way, that may have saved her child's life, who passed. And so once again, you know, the critical importance is becoming familiar with CPR technique and doing something.
Okay, and now if it's a choking situation, what do you do then, whether it's a little guy or a toddler? With me, Dr. Mulligan, I was terrified of my toddler's choking. I know it can be quite common. When do you do something, and when do you let them cough it out?
Okay, great question. If somebody's coughing, then they don't need you to do much of anything. You just sort of support them as they cough up whatever the foreign object might be. You know, you don't want to stick your fingers in there. If, however, there's an inability to talk, they're having difficulty or noisy breathing, they're unable to cough forcefully, the skin, the lips start turning blue or dusky, or worst of all, they lose consciousness, then what you would do is what is recommended as the 5-in-5 approach. So you would give 5 back blows and then 5 abdominal thrusts, and then alternate until such time that that object pops out.
Okay, and if it doesn't pop out?
Well, hopefully by then someone has called 911, and you know, all you can do is repeat the maneuver until such time that, you know, someone comes to help you to remove the object, or until such time the child starts to breathe. Now, if the choking infant is younger than 1, you're going to treat them differently than the older child, adolescent, adult. You're going to assume a seated position and hold the infant face down on your forearm, and you're going to thump the infant gently but firmly 5 times on the middle of their back with the heel of your hand. And with that combination of gravity, because they're facing down, and the back blows, it should release the object that they choked on. First and foremost, though, it would be great to prevent the whole experience by making sure that you do not offer children objects that can cut off their airway, which are things, unfortunately, a lot of kids would like, such as hot dogs, peanuts, grapes. That circular shape and that particular size is exactly right to cut off the windpipe or you know, the trachea where the child could choke.
Dr. Mulligan, we only have 30 seconds or so. Wrap it up. Your best advice on child and infant CPR, what we can do to save our children's lives should we, God forbid, have to.
The best thing to do is enroll yourself right away for a bystander CPR course that's given in any city in this country. They're easy to find. You can access your city office and ask them where the next course is being given. You can contact organizations like the American Red Cross. And you can go to the American Academy of Pediatrics and look for CPR anytime and get some instructions through that product.
Thank you so much. Parents, I would really recommend going to aap.org and get that CPR anytime information and sign up, just as Dr. Mulligan has told you, for a CPR bystander course. It's so important. It could save the life of someone you love. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Radio MD. The show is Healthy Children. Stay tuned and stay well.